BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This week's episode is about something we both know a thing or two about, the hospitality industry. What's your experience like?
Well, I am actually an ex-sandwich artist, and at work sometimes, right, what I would do is I would open the industrial dishwasher, stick my head in it and pretend I was at a spa day.
Yeah, I can't say I ever did that during my time.
So what was your experience?
I started washing dishes in a coffee shop at 13 and I worked in a hotel while I was at uni as well. I've served food at lots of dreadful weddings, including a few that ended in fistfights, one which featured a meatloaf tribute act, and I've given my fair share of death stares to snobby customers as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a stressful industry and can really impact your mental health. Like when I was working in hospitality, I would say the bigger my smile, the worse I felt inside. You know, I'd be like, hi, what can I get for you? Did you have a good weekend? Would you like some extra salami on that? I'm dead inside. Woo! But yeah, this week's episode is all about that. What goes on behind the curtain?
I'm Ross, that's Amelia, and this is Original Pilot Material.
This week's presenter, Katie Williams, has worked as a waitress and noticed how pervasive mental health issues are in the industry.
Katie is really passionate about this subject and she touches on some really important points about the industry, which I definitely relate to. And she also finds out what positive steps people are taking to help others in the industry.
So here's Katie.
What was the last good restaurant you ate in? What was the food like? What was the service like? How much of a fake smile do you think your server was using? I'm Katie Williams, and I worked as a waitress for 3 years. And in June, I quit to save my mental health. Hospitality is not a forgiving industry. It's tough. Really tough. And I, for the most part, only worked part-time while I was at uni. While restaurants are getting stars on TripAdvisor and food is getting Instagrammed, young people on the front line are being ignored. And that's the harsh reality to restaurant work, with 1 in 5 hospitality workers suffering from mental health issues. In this episode, I'm going to be speaking to people whose mental health and lives have been impacted by the industry and to those who are trying to change it. After having depression and an eating disorder in my teens, I'm very aware of my mental well-being, and the potential of falling back into old habits terrifies me. But when you are working between 8 or 10 unsociable hours, no break, and if you're lucky, some lunch, I suppose it's quite natural for it to take its toll. For me, I could feel the effects of the job when I woke up anxious and shaking after working some grueling shifts on a long weekend. I'd wake up on the Monday feeling sick and faint. I knew my time in the industry was coming to an end. I couldn't control my mood swings that came with not eating enough. I would snap back at my colleagues, I'd be sarcastic with the customers. Of course, with that famous customer service smile. One day, I couldn't control my anxiety. I explained to my boss why I was upset and if I could leave before 9 just to get the last train. I was crying, shaking, dropping glasses. My eyes were all red and teary as I served tables. Not exactly the type of service you wanted, I'm sure. I was so embarrassed. I couldn't help it. I couldn't stop it. I wasn't allowed to leave. We were short-staffed and I wasn't giving a finishing time. 8 in 10 chefs suffer from poor mental health, according to a survey by Nestlé's professional range. That's 80%. It's a different ballgame to what I had to deal with, and the cooking profession is notorious for being involved with drugs and alcohol. But what makes it so tough? Martin Edgar is a sous chef from Scotland and has been working in kitchens since he was 14. How has over 10 years of working as a chef affected him?
My name's Martin. I'm 28 years old. I've been a chef for about 13 years now, but I've worked in the industry for about 15 years in total. I suffer from depression, and I know 100% a lot of chefs who suffer that as well. You know, all for similar reasons. It's not just a job; it's a lifestyle. It's you know, if you're getting a rare 2 days off, or if you're even just a day off, you know, you're not totally switched off. You're always thinking about something else, even something as basic as, oh, I really just don't want to go into work tomorrow. Which happens to everyone, to be fair, but I think if you're going in knowing that you're doing 12, 13-hour shifts, that's your day gone. Some people may feel that way about their jobs and sort of 9 to 5, but, you know, you've still got that whole evening, and, you know, that's what a lot of chefs envy, and I do envy as well.
What would you say if someone just turns around and says, well, why don't you just quit?
Not always as simple as that. I know of chefs who are maybe like 35, 36 years old. I've done this for 20 years. It's all they really know. A lot of chefs come out of school straight at 16, no qualifications, but they've got an opportunity to apply themselves in a kitchen. You know, there's nothing really, there's not really a backup plan. There's nothing for you to fall back on. You may have, you know, kids that depend on you, but on top of that, it's a passion as well.
And what would you say to young people who are getting into that industry now?
If you're serious about taking a career and about taking on a career in cooking, if you're just using it as a sort of as a way to make ends meet, then I don't know, and maybe look at some, maybe getting something else. If you're not 100% passionate about what you're doing, about cooking, then no, definitely look for somebody else. Otherwise, maybe 15, 20 years down the line, you find yourself in similar situations as I know other chefs are in, where now it almost begins to feel like that there's no way out.
Would you warn people then at how demanding it is, at how much it puts a strain sort of on your mental health? Would you try and warn people about that?
100%. 100%. For all that, I'm grateful for the industry. You know, it's always had a job for me. It's always had a place for me. But, you know, I've seen so many good chefs, you know, come and they go, and like almost feels like they're coming in. When at the start, as soon as they walk in their shift, they're walking into a mental battle. And I've been through that. I've been through that loads. It's a funny thing about mental health is that you can prepare somebody, but nobody, you know, once you can't prepare somebody mentally for what it brings, because you just have to live it. You just have to, you know, you just have to see what it's like for yourself, and then hopefully maybe you realise early enough that this is definitely for you and you're going to progress in it and you're going to progress well, or you're going to use it as something that just kind of pays the bills. And if you're going to be doing that, you know, that I can see why that takes a mental strain.
And which is it for you? Do you have a passion, or are you just using it to pay the bills?
May seem like a bit of a cop-out, but it's a little both. I still enjoy cooking. I still enjoy the cooking side of the industry. I still enjoy being creative. I still very much enjoy having, you know, a plate of food, even just a list of ingredients in my head, and be able to produce it on a plate, send it out, it comes back that somebody's absolutely loved it. I would definitely say everything that's good about it. What isn't so good about it is, you know, the long hours, the long and sociable hours. I know that this industry has kind of taken its toll on me throughout the years, and now I feel it's time to move on.
As we're hearing, it's not uncommon for people to feel pushed out by the pressures of the industry. Luckily, there are people and organisations out there at grassroots level. There is an amazing hospitality community set up where I live in Stirling. They have a Facebook page and have regular meetings. There, they share experiences, they share knowledge and empower employees from lots of different companies. It is a really supportive network that I'm a big fan of. So I sat down with Alex, one of the key members, to find out what they are doing.
My name is Alex Johns. I am one of the kind of organisers of Stirling Hospitality Community, which is a small community that we started a few years ago. After myself and our kind of founder, Narissa, we were made redundant, and it was a kind of horrible situation and everything was a bit scattered off, and we decided, you know what, if this happens again, we want to help people so that they're not as confused and left stranded the same way that we are.
So what does the hospitality community do then?
We host meetings about, basically, people weren't informed about their rights, and hospitality is a industry that attracts a lot of younger workers, like students, for example. So we host events that are late at night if people work during the day. We do some events during early in the morning if people are working at nights. So we try and cater our meetings to our audience, and we inform them about what their rights are. So we let people know their rights, what the rights are surrounding your contracts, things to look out for in contracts that you don't really know what they mean, like the working time directive and what that means and what rights that gives you, so that they're informed, because information is power, and they can go into that workplace and challenge bad practices or empower the rest of the workers. So even if we get one person from each venue, we like to consider that as our touch point in that venue. So that person can go and tell their colleagues, because we know that it can be a job that's quite unsociable, and the people that you work with are usually the people that you're closest to. You see them more than you see your friends and family. So we like to use that to our advantage and say, OK, well, that's our touch point and that message can get spread.
Have you had any successes with that?
Yeah, we've had a few cases where we had one that employees were not paid holiday pay that they were due, and when they left and they weren't happy with their working conditions, we managed to get them all their holiday pay back. So we do work rep work as well. So we pass them on to, if they want lawyers, we pass them on to lawyers. If they want to contact the union, we possibly try and get that sorted for them as well. If we can get to a place where employees are informed and aware, and then aware of their options, we can build that up. But the first thing to do that is draw attention to these issues and make people, not that we're lazy hospitality workers, but it's hard to get as empowered because you're tired and you're busy, and it's hard to get people to understand other than other hospitality workers. The mental exhaustion that comes along with it is something that people don't estimate, and it needs to be addressed, and we hope to continue to do it, and we hope that everyone gets involved to make it as big an affair as we can, so that it does get, that we get larger powers that be do get involved and do something about it.
Alex's attitude is inspiring, and I really hope this is replicated around the country. If you are listening to this right now and any of this rings a bell, there's nothing to stop you from doing what Alex has done, bringing people together with similar experiences. It could be through a WhatsApp group, Facebook, or even bigger with actual meetings. For me, I felt validated to know it wasn't just me going through the various issues you can come up against in the industry that affect mental health. While it might not have solved anything straight away, by sharing stories with other people, I felt empowered to go forward and supported, which is a brilliant way to feel. So back in June, I left my job for my mental health, and the way life goes is now September. And I've just gone back into the industry. But this time, I'm working in a cafe, where I know I get fed, and the hours are better for me, and I feel comfortable speaking to my employer. After taking time out and really thinking about what affects my mental health when it comes to employment, I feel more confident to go back, knowing there's support out there and knowing exactly what works for me.
If you've got an idea that you'd like to turn into an episode of this podcast, get in touch at originalpilotmaterial.thesocial@bbc.co.uk.
If this is your first time listening and you enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe directly on the BBC Sounds app for more.
Original Pilot Material is produced by Ali McRae, assistant produced by Ross Semple. The executive producer is Anthony Brown for BBC Sounds. The series is hosted by Amelia Baylor and Ross Semple. This episode was written and presented by Katie Williams.